Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my privilege to welcome back Dean Roberts. Dean just finished a book recently about his journey from being expelled from school at the age of 16 and going on to creating a multi-million-dollar manufacturing business 25 years later. And he covers that in the first 16 pages. The balance of the book is mostly made of his journal entries between 1990 and 2014. They chronicle his attempts to train himself in the art of living in a positive and grateful way. If you'd like to do this, you're in the right place at the right time. There are no coincidences, and everyone can find success if they but believe in themselves. And so it's my pleasure to welcome Dean. How are you tonight, Dean?
Well, thank you, David, for having me.
Great, great. Well, you know, that last sentence seems like a good place to start. There are no coincidences, and everybody can find success if they but believe in themselves. Would you talk about the role of faith in being able to manifest whatever kind of abundance people are seeking to achieve in their lives?
I think faith is absolutely essential. But I think that there's more to it than I thought there was when I was actually trying to work my way out of depression and tension. And I think that I've learned recently how our brains are actually hardwired to have certain experiences. I've been reading the works of Rick Hansen. He wrote a book called Hardwired Happiness. And he talks about how we have this negative bias that comes through us all the way from our ancestors that lived in small family and tribal units. And that they would, noticing a rustling in the weeds that might have been a lion or a poisonous snake was 50,000 times more important than noticing the berries or the community meeting down the road, that we are so attuned to finding and program these negative experiences, because all you have to do is be wrong once about a lion and it's over. So I think it takes faith, but it also we have to establish some sort of a training program or a retraining program, because our parents and our schools train us in certain ways of being that are very often unwholesome and not abundant at all. So training, I think people have to think about this, which has to include study, of course. We have to find books and teachers that inspire and educate us in the ways of gratitude, in the ways of abundance, and then study their work and set up some sort of a daily practice of study. And for me, journaling and exercise and meditation are also a very important part of that practice. But through those means, we can create abundance in every area of our life.
And of course, it sounds like what you're talking about is reprogramming oneself at a mind level. It's not just the spiritual aspect. We do have to deal with the givens, and we do tend to have to deal with fear. It's a very real thing, and I believe what you're saying is true, that it comes to us way back through our genetics from those days when we simply had to survive. And a lot of us get into survival mode now. And when we're in that place, then we're not in a place where we're receptive to receiving abundance. We're just trying to make do with day to day, and are oftentimes consumed by fear of failure. What would you say about that?
Well put. I think that Rick Hansen says that the neurons that fire together wire together, and he really stresses the importance of any sort of a, whenever we have any sort of a positive experience, that we take a few minutes, a second, he's saying just seconds, 20, 30 seconds extra, and relive it and feel it and experience it and bring it into our being and our souls. And it helps rewire those neurons to anticipate. It kind of forms a habit. That's the way we want to see the world. It rewires the neurons so that we are more susceptible to the good and less susceptible to the other kind of the experiences that we might at other times interpret as bad experiences. And that's, that's just a consciousness practice. You have to be aware of what we're experiencing, what we're thinking, how we're reacting to the stimulus in front of us, and then directing that to gratitude and abundance.
Well, when you say bad experiences, I think you're probably talking about negative experiences, negative feeling experiences, because ultimately every experience is an opportunity for growth and for learning. And so I was recently coached on this, that there are no mistakes. There are only experiences, and they all create opportunities for us to turn in other directions. If something has not felt particularly good to us, that's an indicator that we need to move in another direction. And if we are coming from a place of fear or some kind of manifestation of that that's negative, then that's an opportunity for us to shift. But it requires awareness. And maybe it would be good to talk a little bit about awareness first, because you mentioned meditation, which is a wonderful way to train the mind. And what would you like to say about awareness?
It's very simple, very difficult to consistently stay in the present moment, to pay attention to what's happening, pay attention to how we're interpreting and the kind of experience that we're creating around whatever's happening. Because as you said, there's no bad experiences. There's opportunities for learning, and there's opportunities for change and opportunities for coming to a higher understanding of ourselves and the way we are kind of programmed to react to things and change that programming.
Well, you know, one of the things that this gentleman I had on last night, Jim Phillips, said, which I thought was quite illuminating, was when it comes to attracting favorable experiences, experiences that may provide us with abundance, that is, I don't want to attach a judgment by saying favorable, but let's just say that that would be the perception. And that a lot of people practice tunnel vision. They're so attached to a specific result, a particular job, a particular type of relationship with a particular person. And he said instead of having laser vision or tunnel vision, that it was important to have funnel vision, where you opened yourself to the realm of all possibilities so that you were not limiting yourself in any particular way. What do you think about that?
Absolutely correct. We have, because we we form interpretations. So much of what we experience is not actually what's going on, but the way we interpret it. And then we have these programmed habitual reactions. And even on a deeper level, many people have expectations. They feel that this is the way it's going to come out. This is what people think. This is how I always get treated. And they wind up creating that expectation, that experience, good or bad. I think that, good or bad, positive or negative, fulfilling or unfulfilling, many ways to express that term. But let's just say enjoyable or unenjoyable, or wholesome or unwholesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than I had suspected till recently, almost hardwired into us by the way we've been trained by our parents and teachers and the way we have habitually reacted to the experiences of our life. So it's a project, and people have to look at it as a project and set up a training program and stick with it, because you never know how high it is till you get there. And I've changed so much over the last 10 years. And as you know, this is my 77th year on the planet Earth. And I'm still learning and studying, probably at a faster rate or a more intense rate than I did at any other time in my life.
Well, one of the things that you were talking about, which I think is very important, is the notion of creating one's own reality. And that takes personal responsibility and commitment, willingness, and being open-minded to walk through whatever doors might be there before you, or at least to make an attempt to move in a forward direction instead of spiraling around in a direction that's going to achieve the same results. I mean, I've heard that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results, and that's what so many people do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
But it's like taking time and looking at it as a paint or putty, and we have these experiences that happen in time, and we can shape them and shape our, well, not we can't shape them, but we can shape our experience of them in many different ways. And I think that's the work of a lifetime, is training yourself to find the good wherever you are.
Well, what are some of the ways that we can shape them?
I think gratitude is the, for me, is the most helpful experience. I just, everywhere I look, I see things to be grateful for, and I try to almost do that too, just to keep my mind in a very positive place, but also as a kind of a thankfulness to the universe for all of these incredible experiences. Throughout all the history, humanity basically lived in huts or were scavenging for food and living in caves. That there were only a very few people throughout history that ever experienced any kind of affluence the way we just automatically just take for granted hundreds of different conveniences and benefits that we have of living in our time and in this place.
Mm.
So gratitude is like an anchor for me.
Well, it is for me too. And I liked what you said about how it helps you maintain a positive attitude, because if I start to malinger and go along a negative bent, then I'm not staying focused on the present, for one thing. If I'm present to the moment, I'm going to count each blessing as it comes along, and I'm not going to take anything for granted. And when I do that, it just seems to attract more to be grateful for over time. And what would you like to say about that?
I think that's true. That's my experience. I'm not sure if it's we attract more good or we have adjusted our interpretations and our appreciation for our lives to just appreciate them on a higher level. Or maybe, you know, I think maybe you're right, though, David. I think that positive things seem to attract positive things. When you get somebody, I have a person in my life that is very, very, very negative and unhappy and with the worst expectations. Everything's bad. Nothing ain't good. And I can be in the room with that person without even knowing they're there, and I'll know they're there. I can feel that energy. It's just and it's the same thing with people that are very positive and joyous about their life. You can tell from the way they walk when you're behind them that how they're experiencing things. It's a whole body mind experience.
Well, you and I have talked before about the balance between body, mind, and spirit, and how important it is to maintain that balance in all those areas. Let's review that for a while at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm convinced that it's almost impossible to have a full experience of life unless we're eating really good, wholesome food, we're drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, and exercising, meditation are all different aspects of tuning up the equipment. You know, when there's a NASCAR race, they spend sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars tuning up the equipment. And our equipment is our body. And to live optimally, it's a project. It's an educational project, and it's a discipline. Just to get enough sleep and exercise and eat the right kind of food, and when you do that, I think your mind is working at whatever highest level is available to you, and it just makes everything that much easier.
Well, that involves using a lot of common sense, doesn't it? Just to take care of yourself. I mean, I like to believe that I'm here to be of service to others, but I can't do that if I haven't taken care of myself first at all levels.
Absolutely. I think the purpose of life is to grow and to help other people come to some understanding of the possibilities of life and to live in a fulfilling and a helpful way. So that's what I'm tuning the equipment for. Hopefully I would be able to help others appreciate and experience life the way I have. I've been very fortunate.
Well, I have too. I can relate to that very much. Let's talk about abundance. Let's talk about creating abundance in our lives and some of the steps that we can use to manifest that for ourselves.
I think the first step for anybody that doesn't have enough money is just like having, and it's a part of having good food and a comfortable place to sleep and a warm house to live in. We need a certain amount of money to live optimally. It's as simple as that. If we're spending all our time worrying about paying the mortgage, it's not a good way to live. So I was fortunate that I was given a copy of Think and Grow Rich at the very, very, very beginning of my development of myself. And I focused most of my energies. I studied other books, but I spent most of my time thinking about making money. And I kind of just overlooked my poor health and my tension and depression. And Think and Grow Rich is a guidebook. If you're broke, if you don't have enough money to live in a wholesome way where you can direct your life and you're not just following orders from somebody, then get a hold of Think and Grow Rich and read it and reread it and reread it and follow the simple instructions. You know, it's not a complicated thing. Figure out some project, some way that you want to increase your income, go into business or get a certain kind of job, and then set a goal, set a time for that goal to happen, and then read about it, think about it, and develop the skills needed to do that. And thank God, it worked out for me. After a while, I started to make pretty good money, and then after that, I started to make very good money. And it afforded me the freedom to go to a bunch of different shrinks and go to seminars and take week-long retreats and do a lot of things that were part of my path to wholeness. But fix the money thing. If you broke, it's a good place to start on a self-improvement project.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to make clear is that abundance is not just about money. It applies to any blessing in our life, be it friendships, relationships, work, anything that brings us joy and brings us a feeling of well-being. And I would imagine that the same steps would apply to attracting more of what it is that we want at all levels into our lives. Granted, we need money to live, but it's not really serving our spirits well if we just focus on the money part.
No, I was very unbalanced in my approach to personal growth, and but that's what I did. If I were to start over with what I know now, it would be very different. But I agree that balance and abundance and friendship and personal relationships, I think, are probably the most fulfilling part of life. To attract friends and to communicate with your family and be one with your family. But there's, the abundance of just being grateful, learning how to just be grateful.
Yes, yes. I really believe that's a key. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about in terms of your own experience for creating abundance in your life and some of these other areas that we're talking about besides money?
Be helpful. Try to have compassion for everybody that you come in contact with. I think I'm convinced there's a law in the universe that I learned in Napoleon Hill's book that applies to everything. He said, give more than you get, and you get more than you give. And there's a certain goodwill capital that you create whenever you help somebody, whenever you're kind, whenever you're considerate, whenever you hold a door for somebody. It's just like Jung said, the universal consciousness, and you put energy in that, and it comes back to you in ways that you won't even suspect. People are there. You get into trouble with something, and there's always somebody there to help me, and to guide me when I needed it. And I really feel it's part of that universal consciousness.
I agree with you. I think there's some other ways that it could be put. We could call it karma. We could call it the law of cause and effect. It's seems to be spiritual law that when we head in a positive direction, when we keep a positive frame of mind, we attract more positive results. And the challenge, once again, is to remain present to the moment and to recognize when we are starting to slip from that place of positivity. What suggestions would you have for people to keep a positive frame of mind aside from gratitude?
Study. Read positive books. Listen to podcasts like this, and there's so many great programs available on the internet today. But study, read, surround yourself with people that are that are of the same mind, that are grateful for their lives and looking for opportunities to make it a better world. But that, it's a habit. It's a habit like anything else. And the more we reinforce it and do it and appreciate it, the just the better things get. And the more, the easier it is to follow that too. It's a habitual mindset. But you mentioned awareness, and that is probably the absolute centerpiece in personal growth, is to be conscious of what you're, how you're experiencing something, and to be able to direct it to a wholesome experience if it's not coming down that way.
Now, you use yoga also as a means of meditation and exercise. What benefits do you derive from that?
It's an awareness practice if you do it correctly. I mean, it be in tune with your body and as far as the physical fitness, flexibility is important. I would say there's three aspects of fitness, excuse me, that cardiovascular, muscular, and flexibility. And certainly yoga, if done correctly, can help you with actually all three of them. The way I practice it, I've incorporated a fair amount of fairly strenuous cardiovascular movements as well as stretching and also isometrics too. So my practice has kind of evolved into a full body, pre-discipline kind of experience that, I get back to fitness again. To be to live optimally, you need to be optimally fit.
Well, it's interesting. I had a guest on last week. His name was Omkar, and he's a holistic coach. And he talked about how certain physical practices, like what you've mentioned, are actually ways to discharge negativity, negative emotions from the body, and that it does not necessarily have to be done through talk therapy, although that can be useful too. The body has memories, and when you engage in physical practices, you can actually discharge emotions through the body. What do you think about that?
I've read that in a number of places, and part of my yoga practice also is a very intense fire breath that I do for quite a lot, and I think that helps. I don't know. I've had different guided meditations that talked about how you can discharge negative feelings and negative emotions through breathing, through visualization and breathing. And I agree. I think that I don't have any conscious position, posture or movement that I do that I think it may. I don't know. But I think that there definitely are practices that do that.
Well, we do have a couple of callers on the line. Why don't we open up the call lines and see if that stimulates some more dialogue?
Great.
Okay. I'm going first to Patty. Hi, Patty. You're live on the air. Say hi to Dean.
Hello. How are you all tonight?
Welcome, Patty. Fine.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I'm going to put you back on speaker. I can barely hear you. Hold on.
Hello?
Are you there, Patty? We're not hearing you. Do you have your phone muted?
Hello?
That's interesting. Hi.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, a call started to come in, and then I got lost on finding the button to get back here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We wondered.
Yeah.
I thought you had muted us so that we couldn't hear you.
No, no.
Okay.
Well, it's been interesting listening to you because I'm really working on all those kind of things. I've been past few years with the economy. I mean, I've been in spaces before that time where I had an abundance in my life and everything was good and finances were good, and then everything with the economy and changes and sort of went south. So I've been kind of stumbling in that for a few years, and you know, I'm aware of you know, giving gratitude and, you know, creating visualizations and, you know, positive thought. So I've started getting real more into working in that now. And as you're all talking, I'm looking at the signs on my wall. And one of them says, abundance flows freely and easily into all areas of my life always. Then I have a big gratitude sign on the other wall. So it's interesting that that's the conversation tonight.
Kyra, that is a really great practice to put signs up like that. I have signs all over, breathe, because I have a tendency to shallow breathe and hold my breath. And this process of self-creation is a big deal. It takes a long time, and it takes continual reminding ourselves of how important these simple things are. But signs like that are great.
Yeah, it just reminds me. And then when I'm like out the door and I'm driving down the street or something, I'll just remember that sign and I'll just say, abundance flows freely and easily into my life in all areas and always. And, you know, when I'm really kind of in a struggling spot, but I just believe that if you have the faith and, you know, you act and think like it already exists and, you know, like it's already here, then you're pulling it to you like a magnet through that thought process and that feeling.
I agree.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Dean, based on what Patty was saying, and that is, when you find yourself in a place of struggle, what's the best way to move through that, to seize the opportunity to recognize that it's just another experience that's going on, and to be able to move through the struggle instead of getting in it?
I think it goes right back to study and inspiration. Read inspirational material and study whatever. If it's a lack of money that's the problem, then you need to either acquire the skills that you need to get the money that you need to have abundance, or you need to go in another direction. But it's study and inspiration. I read books every morning. There's three books that I've been reading every morning for probably 30 years, and I'm always reading two or three other books with that. And it's study. And pray. Prayer is a very powerful thing.
Yeah, I agree. I make lists and I sit down and ask for, you know, divine guidance and for all divine beings to make connections. It's from a class I took in the past, asking for divine assistance for them to make any connections, you know, need be for what I'm desiring to manifest. And at the end of that, I also add, or anything greater that I may not be aware of, you know, so it's like you have your free will, but you're giving them the okay to go ahead and throw something in there if you missed it. That would be for the higher good of all. Yeah. So I kind of like doing that too.
That's beautiful. I think that a lot of people are experiencing that tunnel vision that we talked about earlier, and they're so fixated on a certain result that they don't open themselves to all the possibilities that are out there. And God, if you want to call the source of our beings God, has all power to manifest whatever will serve our highest good if we focus on that and put forward, as you do, let it be this or something better, and may it serve the highest good for all. I love that.
Yeah, I got a woman I used to take a workshop with here and there, taught me that, and we kind of go into the what do we call it, navigating navigating a request, we would first say, let's see, how did we start that? In love, honor, respect, and gratitude, we ask all divine spiritual beings from all divine spiritual realms to make connections with all people, places, situations, things, and events to bring forth whatever it is you're seeking, and then add or anything greater that I may have missed for the highest good of all. So I think that's a really good kind of brings everything in. But I understand, too, it's difficult when you're in a bind and things are going wrong and you're unhappy about something or you're depressed about something or you're broke. It's hard to stay there sometimes. You know, the fear comes in and then the anxiety comes in and you think, how? It's easier said than done. You know, I need some money or I need something today. And it's like you have to just, you know, train yourself like David was saying. Or, I'm sorry, what was the other name?
Dean.
Pardon me?
Dean, D-E-A-N.
Dean, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I've been in those spots, too, where just like, you know, and you have to, like, catch yourself and just, you know, or talk to somebody else that gives you some advice to stop doing that and, you know, change gears, I guess.
Yes, right. Having a friends or business associates that you can confer with and talk to about what's going on are tremendously helpful in every aspect of your life, really.
Right.
Well, that's a really important point that Dean just made, the importance of surrounding yourself with positive, like-minded individuals who don't trigger those fears that you might have and can lead positive examples to move you forward in the direction that you want to go.
Right. And I've kind of gone through a period also in the past couple of years with, you know, finances changing and I've moved and, you know, I had people that, you know, I thought were kind of friends and, you know, then I just started seeing some things that, you know, friends wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And, you know, I just started to make some changes, you know, and sort of really seeking out more like-minded people and more people that are supportive and positive and, you know, don't get into the more petty stuff of jealousies and things like that and competitions with each other, you know, instead of just supporting and helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of changes, but I feel like they're all good changes.
That's great. And also, yeah, you can have friends that you don't even know, like these podcasts. There's just so much very positive, powerful information available that I spend any spare moment that I have in jobs around the house or preparing dinner or driving a car listening to a number of different podcasts. And there's a lot of new information about ways of changing your life and being more in control of your life.
Yeah, I listen to quite a few myself, too. I just have a lot of time lately, so I've been listening to quite a few shows on Blog Talk, you know, mostly in the spiritual realm, and it's just interesting, even if you're just listening to other people talk, you know, and sometimes it's not you asking specifically about something that's going on with you, but you know, a host may be addressing another person, but it still resonates with you, so you gain something from just listening as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep. Definitely.
Cool.
Do you have any questions or comments for Dean, Patty, that you'd like to make?
I'm not sure if this is like a call-in, like ask any particular question or... Is this like an intuitive reading or?
No, this is just an opportunity to dialogue. And if you have any questions about any of the things that he's been talking about or that haven't been talked about, this is an opportunity.
Well, it's funny. I was sitting here listening. I was saying, geez, I feel like I don't really have a question now because they're covering all the topics that, you know, are on my mind. And like I said, as you're talking, I'm looking at my signs for abundance and gratitude. And, you know, so if you have any other words of wisdom you'd like to pass on. I don't really have a specific question now at this point. I'm a little laxing in the physical department of exercising lately, but I do have some physical problems going on. I've got a torn muscle in my shoulder, and I smoke cigarettes still, and my breathing's not the best, and you know, that's on my agenda to quit them, but I didn't get there yet. So, but other than that, you know, I'm really trying to keep that body-mind-spirit connection going. So just if you have any advice or anything, I don't really have another question.
Well, one thing I would recommend would be this book by Rick Hansen that I just bought recently, and it's been very very educational and inspiring. It's called Hardwired Happiness.
Okay, yeah, I heard you talking
Amazon.
About that. Rick
Have
Hansen?
You heard it? Rick Hansen,
no,
yeah.
I just heard you talking about it in the beginning of the show. I'm writing
he's
it down.
He's a very very inspiring and insightful writer and speaker. I found out about him on a podcast from, he was interviewed by Lewis House. And his podcast has a lot, he interviews a lot of very interesting people there too.
Cool, yeah. I'll check that out. I need a new book.
That's a good place to start.
There you go, great. Patty.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, listen, please stay tuned in, and we'll continue to talk to the end of the hour. I'm going to go to the other caller now, and thank you for your input. Really appreciate it. And I love the signs that you have up. I think that affirmation is such an important tool that a lot of people don't put a lot of merit into, because we need to change this hardwire that Dean was talking about, that's part of our genetic structure and comes from traumatic experiences we've had in life. And we tend to reinforce that, and so we need to retrain ourselves, and affirmations are a wonderful way to do that. So I applaud you for using those.
Thank you. And I think it's good to keep them simple, you know, and sort of concise. It doesn't have to get, you know, really complicated. I mean, it's really very simple when you think about it. I mean, that one sign, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about money and I need to make more money and sneaking out at other areas of my life where I'd like some abundance. So I just made it sort of generic abundance, you know, and didn't give it a category and just wrote all areas. Abundance flows easily and freely into all areas of my life always. So I'm just every day keep that in my mind. So that helps.
Good night, Patty. I wish you well.
Thank you, and you too. Enjoy your night.
Okay, yep. Patty. Take care. God
Thank
bless.
You. God
okay.
bless you too. Thank you.
Thanks. What do you think about affirmations, Dean?
I use them all day long.
Are there any particular ways that you like to craft them? I've heard it said that it's important to claim things that you wish to possess in the present moment, because all we really have is the present moment, and that's where the faith part comes in.
I think that claiming or visualizing or acting like you already have what you think you want to have, it also it affects our subconscious mind and really helps us put us into that mindset that will attract those whatever that abundance is that we're thinking about. But a long time ago, when I took a job with W.C. Stone Selling Insurance, one of the practices he encouraged us to do was just say, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. Whenever you had any spare time, or you're walking or talking or waking up in the morning and going to sleep at night, over and over and over and over again. And I did that thousands, tens of thousands, I don't know, maybe 100,000 times. I don't know how much I did it, but I did it a lot. I'd be driving way before podcasts. Even now, when I'm getting ready to procrastinate on something,
that is simple, easy, quick to do. Do it now comes into my mind, and it's like I programmed it in there by repetition. And that's the power. That's one of the powers of positive affirmations, is to create that wiring that can come up when you need it.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to reprogram ourselves, and we are people who can change if we are willing to do that, and it takes work and discipline, as you and I were talking about before the show. Nothing comes easily. It's very simple. The steps are simple, but you do need to do it, as you say.
And keep studying. I've had a problem with weight my whole life. I've gone from 220 to about where I am now. I feel I'm just about optimum weight now. But even as much as a year and a half ago, I was 20 pounds heavier than I am now. And I came across I've changed the way I eat, and it's just been no problem for me to maintain the weight that I'm having. This optimum weight that I'm at now. And it's just not a problem. And it's been a problem for me my whole life. I've always been on a diet. And so that's like almost a revolutionary thing for my life that I learned at 76 years old. That study. There's so little. The one thing that I know for sure is I don't know anything. But I do know that I can know more if I continue to be curious and study and read in different areas about all different aspects of wellness and service.
Well, I beg to differ. I believe you know a lot. But I think that what I'm hearing you say is that you're open to continuing to learn. And I've heard you say that you're a student, and I believe that we're all students and teachers. If we keep an open mind, the only way that we're going to grow is to be humble and recognize that there are people out there that can help us along our way and gain more insight and gain more understanding for ourselves, and that can model positive influences that can affect us in positive ways.
Well put.
Well, let's go to the other caller. We have Diana on the line. Hi, Diana. How are you?
Hi, David. I'm good. How are you? And everybody
else? Excellent. Say hello to Dean.
Hi, Dean. I think I've heard you speaking on other shows before.
Yes, we spoke before. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes. The neuron thing, being, you know, a nurse and a holistic nurse all these years, has always been, because I was big in neurology too, the neurons that wire together. So, you know, to get rid of addictions, you have to unwire those neurons, and that has a lot to do with how you speak as well. So David was right by saying that positive speaking, positive affirmations are going to help you unwire those neurons that make you addicted to speaking negatively or whatever else you're doing that's an addiction. You can become addicted to your own thoughts as well as to food or something else. So I definitely believe in unwiring those neurons and then wiring them appropriately, because we do have a brain and it does have neurons and they do a lot for us. So that's the one. I know it's time for the show to end, so I'm not going to go on and on and on. But I have a new affirmation on my wall that says, the universe compensates me for all the good done in my life. You know, I'm older now, like Dean is, and it took me years, probably 58 years, to realize it's okay to ask for something for yourself. I used to pray 3 hours a day. And would get things for other people all the time that they'd ask me to pray for, as long, even with healing. But I mean in things like raises. But I learned you can ask for yourself. So I wrote it on the wall. The universe compensates me for all the good that I've done in my life. Now, with what David says, I need to add in this now moment. So, to complete it.
Yes, it's happening now, Diana.
It is,
I love
finally.
What you're saying about neurons and how, you know, they affect things like addictions. I once heard it said that to be alive is to be addicted. I mean, a lot of people, when you talk about addiction, think about things like drugs, alcohol, food, sex, you name it. But we can just be addicted to negative thinking, as you said. And we need to work on changing the stuff within ourselves that's dysfunctional in order to let go of those behaviors that we find undesirable.
David, I think Diane made a very important point right in the beginning about the talking to ourselves, the language we use when we speak. Oh, this is terrible. This is horrible. Oh, I can't stand this. Those kind of things are it's poison in the well. That it creates those kind of experiences of life, and it sets the stage for future experiences like that. The language we use as we talk to others and ourselves is so important to not talk about how terrible things are. To if it's something that needs changing, then that's certainly worth talking about. But not going into all the negative ways of expressing ourselves and speaking about things.
Well, I think it's so important to recognize that everything that has happened has been for our ultimate good. Again, they're just lessons and opportunities for growth or for changing direction. There are moments of awareness, aha moments, where we recognize, aha, I have been doing something that has brought these results that I do not find desirable. And what am I going to do about it? I think that what is a much more functional question than the why question.
Yes.
It gives you an opportunity to do something and take action. Action, I believe, is such an important thing, don't you think?
Action for sure. Why is it interesting to sometimes figure out why things happen and to keep from repeating them? But the what can I do about it? How can I react to this? What positive lesson can I take from this? What good can I do the world here, right now, in this instant, is the way to move forward.
Mm. What do you think, Diana?
Well, that's probably true, too. I guess if that's true that we can become addicted to our thoughts, like I said, the positive affirmations, pick them up first thing in the morning to keep yourself on the right track, then don't think about all the things you did wrong more than once. Or maybe once in a while have a powwow with your friend where you're allowed to speak for 5 minutes about things that you didn't like that you did, but then turn right back into the positive thinking and the positive ways and all that. But I don't know if that answers your question or not. That's what I was seeing.
No, it does. It does. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to comment on or any questions you'd like to ask Dean?
I really like that, the yoga and the physical part that Dean's doing. I had... for me to be physical, I've got to actually get the angels involved and push me, pull me, push me, pull me. I mean, they have to help me to move like I'm not moving like I was when I was 25. Even if I say that I can for 21 days in a row, I still have to ask for help. Push me, pull me, you know. So he has some kind of a magic in him where he's already conquered this ability at his age to be physical. And it must be that yoga thing.
I've just done a tape on this workout that I've developed. As soon as I get it edited out, I'll make it available for you to take a look at, because it incorporates, as I said, isometric contractions as well as a lot of breathing and cardiovascular movements.
And it takes a while to do it. I only do it twice a week, but it's I can maintain the same level of strength and cardiovascular fitness. I do other things for cardiovascular too, but I think it plays a big role in how easy it is, or seems to be easy for me anyway, to maintain a level of fitness.
Yeah, okay. The isometric. Okay, like doing abs. I broke one of those ab machines once.
You don't need any equipment to do an isometric. You just tighten the muscle group, hold it for a few seconds, and release it. And you can do that. I do it when I'm driving, when I'm walking, when I'm sitting. For the last hour, I've been sitting, stretching, and doing isometrics. It's just a habit, but it keeps you fit. I mean, it gives you muscle tone. It gives you strength. It's no equipment, no place, no nothing required. It's just a question of getting used to the idea of, like, when I'm sitting, I put my legs out straight and hold them out as straight till they go to fatigue. And it's a simple thing. It's just a question of a habit, but it will maintain a very pretty high level of fitness.
Well, then you're rewired.
Rewired. That's right. And it only took 50 years.
Well, Dean, you've achieved a lot of success in your life in so many different ways. If you had to boil it all down to a couple of statements, what would those be?
Get lucky. I tell you, I feel such a sense of gratitude that and good fortune. It seems that my life has such abundance, and I've been able to do so many things. It just doesn't seem like it's something that I necessarily earned. I think maybe it's payback for another lifetime, or maybe it's just some good works in this time. But I can't take a tremendous amount of credit for it. It just seems like dumb luck. But
well,
I keep trying,
I
keep studying, so that may have something to do with it.
What would you say your primary purpose is for today?
Well, today's over, but for tomorrow, I'm going to spend time at the store and hopefully get into some good discussions with some of the people that come there, and just be grateful. I guess that's probably the highest experience I can have, is just to be so appreciative and grateful for all of the abundance that has come into my life.
Well, I'm grateful that you agreed to appear on the show again. I thank you so much, and thank you, Diana, for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess that's a wrap for now. So we're going to come to a close, and now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night.
Good night, David.
Good night.